نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد معدن الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله الفضل والبر اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحبه وبارك وسلم.
One time every person will come and every person will be present in the court of Allah, and his deeds will be in his right hand and in his left hand, and the time for hisab, accounting, will begin, reckoning. And every person, with regards to his deeds, he will have picked them up, held them. There will be no deed which he will not have there. خَيْرًا يَرَى شَرًّا يَرَى. Even a deed equivalent to the weight of an atom, weight of good if he has done, he will see that. And if there's a deed, a misdeed, a sin, equivalent to the weight of an atom, even that he will see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given an ajeeb and unique example about the zarra, like a dust particle, an atom's particle. And if a good deed equivalent to an atom's weight will be placed on the mizan, the scale, then immediately it will become heavy. It is dhara, atom's weight, particle, but it's good. Allah's fadl will be in that, Allah's grace, and that good deed will multiply to the heights. So what does this mean? What does this mean? Is that for that time, a person, he should not consider any moment, any second he should waste. That if a person even gets a little bit of a time or a moment to do a good deed, to this extent that he looks at somebody and smiles, even to this extent, that even that will be included in your deeds. We don't know that smile that you did to that person, that within that smile, that action, apart from Allah's, for Allah's sake, if there's no other purpose, no thought in your heart, then maybe all other deeds will get left behind, but due to this deed of the smile, you may be forgiven. خَيْرًا يَرَى شَرًّا يَرَى. So this will be the time when a human being will be presented in the court of Allah with his deeds. Everybody, with regards to your deeds, will be hoping that the amal Allah gave to us and that we perform, that we take to the hereafter, that we will get paradise, that we'll be forgiven. And we will all have this desire and hope, but amal will not give the forgiveness. Deeds will not give the forgiveness. The amal will be there, but forgiveness, there will be no luggage for forgiveness, no jannah. Maybe in our minds now, this thought will cross now, that our amal, maybe is there no ikhlas, sincerity in our deeds, or we didn't make effort to practice these deeds, or are our deeds not on that standard? Yes, these are all correct points that we're thinking. But this is not the reason that we won't get forgiveness. Because there will be also those people, the salihin, the abideen, the sadiqeen, the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah. Everybody will be present there. And everybody will have amal, and nobody's amal will give them benefit. They won't give them benefit. Forgiveness won't be due to the deeds. So then what will give the success? What was it that will give paradise? Because amal are not benefiting us. Yes? And there will be people who practice sincerely with pure deeds, even they won't be benefiting them. So what will be that factor that will give the success in Jannah? So there will be one such thing due to which the amal will be accepted. Rather, on top of that, good deeds will be accepted. Those people who have spoilt deeds, bad deeds, deeds that are not of the higher standard, even they will be accepted. So this is how great is this factor that we need. What is that factor? What is that reason due to which the human being will succeed? As Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha, she narrated a hadith that Allah's Nabi said, even I will be in this wait, that this thing will be there. Tell me what a great example the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given. Why? Because this is confirmed, this fact, this narration, that look at the example here. So here the Prophet is including himself in this situation, given weight to this fact that how great this amal will be, so that today a man can understand and accept, so he understands for sure that without this factor there's no success. What does this mean? That until, as long as you are alive, you should keep on working hard for this amal. You should keep on working hard for this amal. That due to this amal, the Saliheen, the Awliyaullah, the Ghawth, the Kutub, everybody, the Amal, due to this one factor, the deeds will be accepted and paradise will be attained. So my brothers, this majlis, this gathering, for this reason we establish this gathering, so we can revise our sabak, our lessons, and the messages that have arrived to us, so we can work hard upon those facts. Allah's special grace and mercy and blessings that me and you, Allah gives us the tawfiq to attend and sit down. We don't sit here and count money. We don't look at how many shops we got. We don't look at our businesses and discuss that. I have total yaqeen and certainty that a person who's gathered in this majlis, even in his mind, he's not thinking about these worldly things. He's not even thinking about these worldly factors. That shall I talk to this brother? Brother, how much did you have turnover today? Where did you go today? What car have you got? What model of car have you got? We don't even feel like in our hearts at this moment speaking about this. This fikr akhirah, to develop that in the heart. This is the gathering of zikr, and that's its great miracle and barakah, that a person, if he sat here, gathered so much barakah comes, even if it's temporary, his heart doesn't feel that he wants to talk about dunya whilst the gathering is here. That's how immersed he is in such a gathering, in a majlis. So that's why I stated, such a majalis, even if a person just sits for a moment, he attains success, because his emotions develop positive. It's not hard, is it? But today we are in a bad scenario. Bad environment. So bad is the situation around us. So bad is the situation around us. That person's distressed. How do I become pious? How do I do good deeds? I'm going to die. When he hears good things, then he starts to worry. And he, I don't have the courage to do good. I don't feel like doing good. I don't even feel like praying. I can't even get to Jama'ah and Salah and Jama'ah. Fajr is too hard for me. So brothers, don't do anything. Then at least do this. The start with this, that go regularly and sit in a majlis to start that development. Sit in that gathering, that Allah, I arrived here to this gathering. Allah, it's you. The rest I leave to you. Allah, give me the enable me, and people's lives transformed through majalis. They were broken down. If you sat down distressed in a broken way, you sit down and say, Allah, I'm in your gathering. Okay, I'll take the assistance of this majlis. I've heard from the pious predecessors that this is a Noorani gathering. Okay, we'll sit down in this gathering with Noor. Allah, have yaqeen. I could arrive here. I can't pray the Hajjud. I can't be included in Jama'ah. And even my Isha has gone. Even that I will pray afterwards, I'm late. But I've come to this majlis to this extent, Allah, I have done what I could. Allah, the rest I leave to you. Allah, help me. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allah is so Rahim, so merciful, so gracious. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. He's so Kareem, so merciful. Such a person like this, Allah then selects that person, pulls on that person. Though you have done this much effort, though you have yaqeen and certainty in me, you believe in me, and you consider your Rabb as Rahim, and you have so much trust in your Lord, and you have so much reliance on your Lord. Allah says, Allah doesn't like those people. Oh, what should we do now? Forget it now. I've done too much already. Allah doesn't listen to me. I've got so many complaints. Allah doesn't like that. Allah doesn't like, Allah likes such a person who's down and out. Allah, it's you who's going to transform me. Allah, I'm not capable. I can't do more than this. Allah, help me. So most definitely, this is the way you can attach yourself to Allah. We think, pray tahajjud, do this, pray nafal, keep fasts. Allah says, no. And the person says, no, it's too hard. Allah says, don't do any of these. Rather, just ask and request and have a simple connection of humility with your Lord, with Allah. Simple connection of humility. That Allah, I'm nothing. Allah, I'm dirty, I'm pure, I'm totally bone idle and a waste of space. But I've come to this majlis, Allah, I heard that you have brought me to this gathering. The rest is yours, Allah. That please, Allah, through the barakah of this majlis, make me a person, praise Allah. If you don't become a person, praise Allah, then come to me and complain. that forget about salah, I'll say you become a very pious individual. People will be envious of you. That, yaar, how did you start praying salah? You're going in congregation in the masjid. MashaAllah, you're a fantastic person. People will ask him, how did you come to the deen? But what did they know that how he initiated the humility when in the masjid and the majlis, Allah, the rest is for you, Allah, transform me. SubhanAllah. So what was I saying? What were we discussing? The amal won't help us. Deeds won't help us. Until unless we don't have this factor in our life. What is that factor? Then amal will be visible. That how much you did and goodness came to you and Allah then will send you into paradise. And what is that factor? Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, Allah's mercy. Without Allah's mercy, nothing, no man will go into paradise without Allah's rahmah. Doesn't matter how great are your deeds. Doesn't matter how many amal you perform. Doesn't matter how much luggage you take. But until Allah's rahmah is not there with you, Allah's mercy, until that time, the human being cannot go into paradise. Amal will be stopped. But when rahmah comes, then rahmah doesn't look that did he do less deeds, more deeds, what type of deeds. That's it. He prayed, he practiced, go with Allah's rahmah, go into paradise. Every person of iman will then go into paradise. So do you understand what I've said up till now? Yes, it's a lecture, isn't it? This is not a speech or lecture. This is a discussion. Do you understand? No deeds will be of use to us. What will come of use to us? Say it. Allah's rahmah will come of use to us. Allah's rahmah. Rahmah. If there's rahmah, then success will come. Do you understand everything up till now what I've said? So then for rahmah, what are we doing to earn Allah's rahmah then? Tell me, my brothers. What are you doing to earn Allah's rahmah, mercy? How many people are doing what they should to earn Allah's mercy? That is what we should be yearning for. And is anyone doing any practice here today to earn Allah's mercy? Or nobody? Yes, I'm praying salah Allah. Yes, I've done this. Allah says, carry on doing what you're doing. But Allah's mercy at that time, Allah's rahmah, if it comes, what are you doing today to earn Allah's mercy at that time? Tell me. What are you doing? Even if you're doing it, you don't know that this action I'm doing to earn Allah's mercy. Yeah, we don't even know why we're doing that action. Shall I explain to you? Will you then implement the action? Yes, will you do it for yourself? What a great thing for that time when the whole world, the people of the world will be distressed and the rahmah will come on that person who implements this action. So how will rahmah come? Mercy. What is the means? What is the methodology? How do we attain that? That do the action so that you earn Allah's rahmah and mercy and so that all your deeds are accepted. As Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he narrated a hadith in Tirmidhi, fantastic hadith, very maruf, famous, well-known hadith. Very great hadith. Huge hadith. Ar-Rahimun. Rahimul Ar-Rahman. Brothers, in the hadith, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the Rahim, the person who is merciful, Allah will be merciful to that person. The person who demonstrates mercy, those people who are merciful, on those people Allah's mercy will come. Say SubhanAllah. You understand now the path? We can see the path now. What a great path it is. If you are merciful yourself, then you will succeed. It's stated in the hadith, in the same hadith. The arhamu, if you are merciful, manfit ardi. That if you are merciful on those who are on the earth, then what does Allah Ta'ala say? SubhanAllah. That in the heavens, Allah says, I will be then merciful upon you. If you are merciful to those who are on the earth, then he who is in the heavens, Allah will be merciful to you. So Allah has defined the path as well. That's the important thing to understand. How many people implement this action, my brothers? On the earth, those people who dwell on the earth. It doesn't say here that the people of Iman, you should be merciful to them. No, Allah says those who live on the earth. Now on the earth, what is there? There's the birds, there's the ants, there's the different species of animals. Yes, look around you. Yes, there's no differentiation, which mazhab, which deen, which religion, nothing at all. But the hukum has come. Be merciful. Be merciful. What a great religion we have. So truthful is our religion, the deen of Islam. Not this, that look around you, who's this, who's that, who's not this. When it says about rahm, mercy, if you want to earn Allah's mercy, If you want to at that time, when all your amal due to that, it will be accepted your deeds, then in this world, whilst you're living on those inhabitants of the earth, then how many inhabitants are there of the earth? There's the fish, the birds, there's animals, small things in the earth. There's the fly, the wasp, the bee, there's a spider. I remember now, I'll share that with you. When I used to get up in the morning, I go to the kitchen to drink water, I put the light on, and then when I take the glass and sit down on the floor, then I see a spider. It's from a special place it comes out, the spider. It's an ajeeb, unique spider. And it goes round and round, 5-6 times it goes round, looks here, left there. No, I don't say anything to the spider. Until today, 3 years it's been, at that time it comes out, it wanders around, and then I drink water and leave, then it goes back into its crack. Subhanallah. Why? Because that's its life, the spider. What do? Oh, it's a spider. Bang! We kill it and we throw it away. No. I said that this spider has a life, it has a schedule, it has dhikr that it does. Subhanallah. It remembers Allah and it's the makhluk of Allah. And I thought about this until today. 3 years, when I wake up in the morning, go to get water, put the light on, I said, oh, the spider hasn't come today. Tuck! And the spider comes out. Subhanallah, such a beautiful creature of Allah. It wanders around, and I keep on looking at it, I drink water. It comes sometimes close to me, then it goes from here, it goes that way. Then after a while, when I finish, then it comes out again from another corner. I don't see where's it gone. Why? Because I leave it. Such a secret of this, but wherever it goes, let it go. I don't care. I don't mind. And I drink my water, switch the light off, go. Next day when I go again, even Ramadan, the same thing happens. Subhanallah. So what I'm trying to say is that in the earth, whatever is living on the earth, then subhanallah, that maybe if there's something dangerous, that is a snake or a scorpion that will harm you, then you, of course you have to maybe hit it because it will give you loss, and that's the hukam. But if it's not giving you any loss, it's not speaking to you, giving you pain, to this one, that even those things that give you loss or harm, if they're connected to Allah, even they cool down then, those creatures, when they see the human being. Even they cool down when they see the human being. They calm down. There's another story I'd like to share. Or maybe it will extend the discussion, so I'll leave that for now. So this is the point. Amal. This is the amal. So now what we want is that time in the hereafter when no deed will benefit us, will be broken down our deeds. At that time, what do we need is this factor, that on the people of the earth, the inhabitants of the earth, we need to show mercy. Tell me, what a great point. This is differentiating. Somebody becomes poor, someone in the world is poor, or this rich, and Allah has given them floods and earthquakes, or somebody's drowning in water and where not. That's a big test. That's a big challenge. This is a challenge for those people who are in ease, and they can help other people. Everyone can. For example, I tell you, I'm not asking charity from you for a flood or some disaster, because the dunya continues, and for example, the winter will come, or floods will come, or difficulties will come, and somebody is poor, and you are very rich. I'll give you normal examples, that the two people have come to this country, two families came to this country. One, he's got warehouses, shops, stores. He's got a lot of money. And the other person, he's still drawing social security. He's still claiming. He's got nothing until now. He hasn't even got a house. So what's the reason? Both came at the same time. Reason isn't this, that he is a big shot. He had akal. Both had akal. Both had awareness and brain. And he didn't know that he didn't know to work. But it's Allah's desire, Allah's choice. He gives to whom he wants. To some person he gives this, to some person he gives that. It's not his achievement. We think it's our achievement. Oh, I'm rich, I've worked hard, I'm intellectual, brainy. No such point is there. The reason is this, that everything, when we look, we should put our focus on the hereafter. That definitely there's a hikmah of the hereafter, that Allah has given me wealth and money, maybe. But if I don't distribute it, then a calamity will come. If I don't distribute to people, it's not mine. This money is not mine. This is a hukam, order, instruction. The rather than to deposit in the bank, Allah has hinted that give zakah. Okay, Allah has hinted. Instruction. But don't just stop at zakat, Allah Ta'ala says. Let me tell you this. Just like, for example, Allah says, pray salah, pray fard salah. So the situation doesn't stop there. This is the force. We have to, compulsory. But then there's one of mahabbat, salah. So when there's compulsory order, you have to pray the fard. But the love is to pray the nafal. to increase in that nearer to Allah. So Allah says that I am close to those who do nawafil, voluntary actions, voluntary ibadah, nawafil actions, Allah is close. Those actions are fard. If you have to pray, if you don't pray, then there's punishment and hisab. You have to pray. It doesn't matter what it is, you have to pray. But says, no, leave it. I don't need to do. This is where you are successful. When he considers that Allah will attain his nearness through nawafil, he'll never leave the nafil things. He'll never leave the sunnah actions. One person was in a journey, a wali Allah. And due to the journey, his sunnah, he missed it. But he was very regular in these things, nafl, sunnah, praying. Soon as he went to sleep, the Holy Prophet came to him in his dream that you left the sunnah component. And this is a true event. So what is this? That those people, if they grab hold of them firmly, these things, strong practice, the high action, the best action which the Prophet ﷺ loves is that his sunnah practices, his sunnah methodology, lifestyle. Not that we differentiate this sahih, we should do this, this is wajib, this is this level, this is this standard, this is permanent, this is that's your hisab. That's your thinking. But those who practice, they just do it. Why shouldn't I practice this sunnah due to which I will attain Allah's qurb and nearness? So, 2-3 fruit, for example, if I put the imam on my head, then if Allah is happy and the Prophet is happy, then why shouldn't I do the action of wearing the imam? Why we don't need dalil and proof? I know this much dalil that Rasulullah's sunnah was this and I implement it, end of story. Why shouldn't I explain my children wear imam, those who I love, ask them, request them to wear imam, because I want them to go into Jannah. So in the same way Allah Ta'ala says, Raham, those who are merciful, Allah will be merciful to those people. And then Allah has explained as well. The Rahmah, mercy, if you are merciful, so you understand what was the first factor, the point, that if we want to attain Allah's Rahmah, only through Allah's Rahmah will a person go into paradise. And how will Rahmah come to us from Allah? Is that we also on the inhabitants of the earth should be merciful. Ar-Rahimun, those who are the merciful people, somebody's distressed, he's got problems, don't ask him. Don't ask him the amount of haq that is due to that person. Help that person as much as you can. You have to give zakah anyway. That's compulsory. Somebody's hungry. Okay, another thing, remember that we have to do this action in such a way that you don't show to that person you're favoring that person. Some people, when you help somebody, they think they favored that person. Oh, I did a favor for you. And they think they're bigger than that person. No! Drop yourself. Say that this money was in my pocket. Allah Ta'ala has given me this money. He didn't have money. It's fard on me that Allah has given me money and wealth. Allah showed me a person who was in need. He was desperate. So immediately I should take the money and give to that person. Otherwise Allah will grab me and ask me, question me, why? Because it will happen tomorrow. Maybe he will replace me and I will be in his position. I will be in need and he will be the person given. Could happen. It's totally possible. And history will show. People will tell you that I was this before and I then dropped and I became this. I was this and he was low, he's become high. Yes, this is not in our control. Yes, Allah says, Rizqi man yasha, I give to whoever I want and I take from whoever I want. So we understand the word now, the point that the best preparation for the hereafter is this, that we should become merciful and have mercy on others. If you're angry, then give some coolness to your anger and forgive. I won't do nothing to you, don't worry. I won't do nothing. Forgive the child. Forgive the family folk. Forgive the relatives. When you develop forgiveness, then you will attain success. Because Allah gave you anger as a quality, the other person who is underneath you, Allah is testing you with your anger, that he's under your control, he's under your realm. Woman, man, you've got anger, that person's under your control. You could grab his neck, you could shake that person, because you've got anger within you. You got that power. This is a test, a challenge. The rest, yeah, I pray salah, I just did hajj, I came back, I done umrah, I look at the signs of prayer on my body, I do sunnah amal, everything on one side. But this, that if you're angry on somebody and you forgive that person, say, I forgive you. There's no greater amal deed than this, because this has become the example of your rahmah for the hereafter. In the hereafter, this will be your luggage of rahmah due to which all your salahs will be accepted. All your hajj will be accepted. And this, me and you, every day Allah will give us an opportunity. That's the reason for our life in this world. That if a person's under your control in your house, your wife, children, relatives, they're under your control. Child is in front of you. You can beat that child. You can strangle his neck. You're angry. But what do you do at that time? That for the sake of Allah, forgive that child and adopt the other path. As Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. What was his hal? Look at the hal of the people. before Islam, what was their situation? Think about it. So what he realized is that what do we learn in the Akhirah? First and foremost, the biggest factor, what we will require, we'll be desperate for is Allah's rahmah mercy. And what do we need to earn Allah's mercy? What do we need? What do we need? We need to demonstrate rahmah ourselves on people. Look for opportunities. Who can you help? Who can you assist? Who can you give sacrifice for? Who can you forgive? Go for the sake of Allah, I forgive you. You swore at me, go, I forgive you. He knows everything. That he did excess against me, oppressed me, he swore at me, he said bad against me, but you embrace that person to your chest, subhanAllah. What a great amal, what a great character of that person. Why? Not for that person's sake, because you know that tomorrow Allah's rahmah, I will be desperate for that. Allah said, you be merciful on earth and I'll be merciful to you in the heavens. You be merciful on the people of the earth. I have power, I can take revenge, I can do what I want. But no, I forgive you, I embrace you. Okay, now, so this action of being merciful is a fantastic amal. If you pray salah, you have to do wudu. Before salah, you have to do wudu. You have to change your clothes. You have to be pure. Come to the prayer mat. Pray salah. Then salah is done, isn't it? So raham, to be merciful in your heart, to be your heart full of mercy. Where does raham come? Think now. How do I adopt this path and show mercy to other people? Raham. Mercy, if this raham comes into us, mercy, we need to work hard and make effort that this rahmah, mercy, is instilled inside us, developed within us. That's the main thing to learn now, isn't it? The question. Yes, if you see somebody, whoever person, he sat down, he's from any qawm, any nation, and you see he's in a bad position, then you should assist that person. That's it. Assist that person, help that person. Not that, for example, he has to be a Muslim, he has to be a believer. No, we don't differentiate like that. So what do we need for this? To think like this, to act like this. How will rahmah come into us? Mercy. Without working hard, you can't attain success. Rahmah won't just come automatically and you won't be able to distribute automatically. So for this, you have to change yourself. Develop yourself. Where does rahmah come? Mercy. Where does rahmah come? It comes into the heart. Raham comes into the heart. Raham, heart. Merciful, heart. When somebody does a good action, we say, oh, he's a raham dil. He is warm-hearted. Yeah, he's got mercy in his heart. Why do we attach the heart with mercy? Because the heart is the only place where mercy can reside. You can't say with the nose on the eyes. You can't say raham heart. You can't say raham hands, raham eyes, raham nose. You say raham-hearted. Oh, he gave so much money. He's such warm-hearted. These are the words, aren't they? Yes, automatically it's become word. Because the heart is the place, the destination where rahmah will come, where it will develop. Yes, when a person is merciful in his heart, rahmah comes into the heart. Doesn't go anywhere else. I'll share a hadith with you. The Holy Prophet said that nobody will go into paradise. Nobody will go into paradise except the person whose heart is full of peace and that person who demonstrates mercy. This is the hadith. Yes, so the Holy Prophet has given the whole cure here. That no person will go into paradise. What will take a person to paradise? Allah's rahmah. Rahmah will come into that person who has a merciful heart. Whose heart is full of peace and salamati and who is merciful. That woman, that man will go into paradise. So now what do we need to do? What effort do we need to make? Say subhanAllah. That our heart, we need to work hard on our hearts. We need to make our heart at peace, full of salamat and full of mercy. It's the heart that becomes tender. And so, because it's the heart that does zulm. It's the heart that earns anger. It's the heart that oppresses other people. It's the heart that doesn't make us capable of forgiving other people. It's the heart that tries to take revenge on others. It's the heart that takes revenge on other people. So if we desire Allah's mercy, then what do we need to do? Is we need to be merciful on others. And to be merciful to others, what do we need to do? We need to correct our hearts. And as your heart is corrected, reformed, the raham, mercy will come into you. Say subhanAllah. Say subhanAllah. Then even the spider, you'll start liking the spider. And the fly that's flying through the house, you'll like it and you'll be merciful. Yeah? And you will have mercy on human beings. You will have pity for those creatures. And you'll start loving the human beings. And all the quarrels and disputes in your home will evaporate. And you'll get used to forgiving. Say subhanAllah. And peace will come into your life. I say, I say subhanallah, that if rahm comes into our hearts, then the whole society around us will become like Jannah, paradise. There'll be no fighting, there'll be no quarrels, no difficulties, no issues. Why? Because you're used to it. And subhanallah, you're forgiving others and that other person cools down. Who will go to court? Who will go to the justice? Who will go and fight a case? Who will seek divorces? Who will fight and quarrel and dispute? Why? Because they'll have one vision. I want to earn Allah's rahmah and thereafter, so I forgive this person. Your heart will be made. As your heart is made, so elevated you'll be, so great. And the examples in front of us, the Holy Prophet, he came. What was the society? It was murder, fighting. And murder was a common thing. One murder, two murder, three murders, so many murders. Dhulam, oppression, there was no limit. That in no society before that could you hear of the oppression. Even today, for me to say, I feel weird saying this today, that those people, and for example, a daughter was born, they dig a ditch, and the mother and father are looking, and the daughter's asking, what's my fault? And that person being thrown alive, that daughter, into the ditch, and they're throwing the soil back over and murdering her, and they said this with their own words. Such a qawm. Such a people. And how did they become this? That the Quran defines them. Allah then praises them. The rahmah bainahum. They became so merciful. Allah has mentioned the quality of those sahaba, that there's nobody like them who was merciful. Ashadul kufar. That both qualities were within them, the sahaba. They were so merciful to each other. There's no limit to their mercy. And which qawm was this? Tell me. How did they become like this? How did they develop like this? Sohbat-e Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Due to the company of the Holy Prophet, they sat in the company of the Holy Prophet. There were such people before. And who did they become? Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. Listen, from the companions, the noble companions, he was that person who we say that in the universe, never will such people come again. Never will people with mercy come again. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Nobody will come like Hazrat Talha, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. Never will such people come. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, subhanallah, that he would come out and he, for example, he used to take his sword out quickly and say that I will reckon with that person. He wouldn't look at anything. And when mercy came to him, even to his real sister, he beat her so much that he gave her so many injuries. And that same person, subhanallah, that same person, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu states that he is traveling in the night. And this is a narration, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Abdullah bin Abdurrahman bin Auf. He said, Amir al-Mu'minin, where are you going? It's the night time, where are you going? And because obviously people are resting, where are you going? He said, no, it's no problem. I've just saw that there's a group of people from afar, they've come, maybe the musafir, journeyman, I'm worried, I'm very concerned, my heart is heavy, there's a night time, these people who've come on a journey, maybe somebody will attack them, or an animal will come, etc. So I thought all night long, I'll sit here and take guard so that no difficulty can come to them. Subhanallah, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Look at his character. Rahma bainahum. How much mercy in their hearts. Was it fard on them? Was it wajib? Amir al-Mu'mineen. Amir, commander of the faithful, but he wanted rahma of Allah. He wanted to earn it. Everybody knew that it's not amal deeds that will give us success. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, no of his deeds will be accepted. Only if the Prophet said that I want Allah's rahma. So then who else is left? If all the sahaba demonstrate this, whose deeds will be better than them? So, how did they develop their hearts? Through the company of the Prophet. How can you make your heart today? Through the sohbat of the sheikh, through the company of the sheikh. You need to bring about the company of a sheikh in the life, then the heart is developed and made. Through sohbat, such how their heart was made, they didn't study Sahih Bukhari or Mu'tama Malik, they didn't recite Quran, there wasn't any daras, there was no tabligh jamaat, there was nothing there, just one action. That the face, the blessed face of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever came into the company of Rasulullah sallam, he transformed his life. How? That they made the heart pure and soft. The first thing that came into their heart was the rahm. Mercy came into that. The first thing that will earn Allah's mercy, not salah, not fasting, not hajj. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I'm telling you a hadith, that in my ummah people, they will pray lots of salah, lots of fasting. Due to this, they will not go into paradise. Yes, this is a hadith. That's why I'm sharing this hadith. This is also a hadith. The Rasulullah said, my ummatis won't go into paradise due to abundance of salah and hajj and fasting. So all of the amal come to this. Rather, my ummatis will go into paradise go to due to what? Due to their purity of heart and rahmah, mercy. Is this not a hadith? Respected scholars are here. Tell me. This hadith that we read, but we never understand these hadith, do we? Yes, we read hadith to tell other people and nothing else. Nothing else. This hadith, I say, after reading this, a man cannot move an inch. Then what am I? How will I be forgiven? What have I prepared for this to correct myself, improve myself? How will I get purity of heart, salamat heart? It will come in the same way, just like Abu Bakr Sadiq did it, Hazrat Umar did it, Hazrat Usman did it, Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. Look at him, this sahabi, his amal, Hazrat Abu Darda, do you know about him? What a great sahabi. And in the hadith we read and learn how close he was to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is he doing? Listen. For a moment. The children who used to play, what do children do when they play? Here, maybe it's not here, but in Pakistan, etc., countries, children, when they play, they go, they'll take the child of a bird or a small chick or a kitten, they start playing with it, or they'll take the child of a pigeon or a bird, and they start playing with it. Children do that, isn't it, outside? So what did he do? And he would go and he'd buy the child animal from the children. He'd buy that child animal. For example, a pigeon's child or a sparrow, and then he would go and say, I free you now into the environment. Go and enjoy yourself. SubhanAllah. He'd do this. Tell me, what was this? He had raham, mercy. He had mercy on the animals that children are pestering. This animal, he'd buy that, purchase the animal from the children so their hearts weren't broken. Then he'd go and free the animal. Say, SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Where did he learn this raham and mercy into the heart? Tell me, SubhanAllah. How great companions, how great human beings. All of them the same. Rahma bainahum. The biggest quality in the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, was that they were merciful in their hearts, was mercy. They were merciful to others, creatures. This that they were the rightful owners and deserved of Rahma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ula amal, deeds are fine. We emphasize on amal. These are side factors. But pay attention on that factor, Rahma, Rahma of Allah, and how we should be merciful so that our deeds are accepted. So what do we learn? What is most useful in the hereafter? Rahmati Allahi, the rahma of Allah. And what do we need to earn Allah's rahma? We need to be merciful. And where will we learn rahma from? From a pure heart. And where will the pure heart come from? From the company of a wali Allah. SubhanAllah. So these are the steps. These are the steps. Yes. So the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah, where will we find them? They also implement the orders of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you keep friendship with them, you have aqeedah in them, belief in them, love with them, connection with them, sohbat with them, rabta with them, you sit with them, get rid of your waswasa, shaitani thoughts, your whole life it might take. It wasn't that Abu Bakr said, he said, oh, I've seen your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, okay, you go your way, and until the morning my friendship with you finish and I go my way. No, he was connected, even today he's connected to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even today, this is the friendship. Even if you die, even the grave was next to the sheikh. SubhanAllah. This is called sohbat, company, love, muhabbat. In your heart, why shouldn't be developed then? The biggest rahm of Allah will come then. Why? Because Allah say that he worked so hard that he had the connection with the sheikh. He was with the sheikh all the time. His niyyah was that he wants to make his heart so he can. And Allah says, we have a scale. Hello, my sheikh, I've done this action. The sheikh was saying this today, that you have to hear this. I don't need to hear this, what the sheikh said. Oh, let me leave this action, what the sheikh said. I'll do this. I'll differentiate this. My friends, mad people. If Allah gives you a friend of Allah, stick yourself to him. Super glue yourself to him, that even after death, he's not far from you. He should be in your thoughts, he should be rotating your thoughts, super glue yourself, not for any other reason. If I do this, if he does it, I'll do this, or my dunya things aren't being fulfilled, or God requirements, shall I do this now? If he says no, that's the end of the story. We make a frown. We frown, I'm not gonna do this. I said this to Hazrat Sahab, he didn't accept why I asked him, he didn't listen to me, oh no, we don't need to go again. Then they leave the action, they leave the sohbat. We do so much for Hazrat, we say so much for Hazrat, we asked him to do this and he didn't listen to us. These tests and challenges come on the murids, remember this. Shaitan's wasawis come, whispering of shaitan between the student and the teacher. You understand? So my sheikh, he also do this with me. He gave me such a push once that I became dizzy, SubhanAllah. Such a push, such a jolt, such a jada that I said, SubhanAllah. Because there was noise, there was clamor, that he's the beloved student of Shaykh. All marids of Hazrat Sahab, they used to, that he's the beloved of our Shaykh. He's the beloved until today, people say this. And the Hazrat Sahab said, that I'll make him my beloved. Let's see. Such dishonor and disrespect in the whole gathering that my mind was dizzy, but But that wasn't disrespect, dishonor. There was so much love. I understood that this was the love of my Shaykh. That he gives you a push. Give as many pushes as you want. Hazrat, I said, I will stick myself to you because I knew the mother, how much she beats the child still runs back to the god and the embrace of the mother. You can experience this if you have children. If you hit the child and the child will run back to you, he'll cry and attach himself to you. And if you're punching, he'll come. He'll be, but he'll stay with you, the child. And then so much enjoyment, the mother and the father, they like the child when he runs back and cries and hits the mother and father, that they want the child to do that time and time again. Subhanallah. Now maybe you're old and you don't have children, then look at the children. Yes, because that time's past now. Then look at the children, small children that people have. You understand what I'm saying? So what do we need to prepare for? Raham, we need to have a heart of mercy. Oh, look at him, look at that person, this mama, chapa, cha-cha, relatives, we have arguments, fights in our homes. Leave the wife, yeah? Because today is such a bad state for the wife, she cooks wrong one day, look at our hal, how we treat the wife, if she doesn't cook correctly one day. There was a friend of Allah, Wali Allah, and he said to his wife, can you cook this today? And she said, fine. And she prepared, and he went home to eat and drink, and he was ready. He went and sat down, ready for the meal. She came with the food. And there was no worse meal than that before that. No worse meal than that. What he wanted, he could have front. An insan is an insan, human being, which is a test, a challenge. All his salah, hajj, zakah, tahajjud, put to one side. And all day he's thinking, I'm waiting, I'll go and I'll eat, and my mujahidah, I've made effort. And what type of food has come here? That it suddenly, but he knew Allah's rahmah, I need to earn it. So he had a pure heart, and he had sohbat of his sheikh, company of the teacher. So look now. So then, وَمَاكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ. He knew that Allah Ta'ala is near me, he's watching me. What's his response and the drama that will take place now? So this, the door to Allah, always keep it open. Allah Ta'ala, nobody is hidden from Allah. The door to Allah always keep it open on a jar. So when he saw this situation, he said, ooh, that woman, she was a bit afraid. Ooh, today there's going to be problems. And that, subhanAllah, that she removed the utensils and that. Because if my husband grabs hold of the utensils or the tools, then he'll do bad against me. And he came, there was so much salt. By mistake, error, she put so much salt. And he said, very nice food, tasty, a miracle, amazing. Today I'll give you reward as well for this food, he said to the wife. That's it, when he had to stop saying that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in the night he had ziyarah. He had ziyarah, he had good news. Subhanallah, why? It's Allah's promise. That you are merciful to those on the earth, Allah in the heavens will be merciful to you. Due to me, you suppressed your anger. And this was the kamal, this was the achievement of your peaceful heart. Since he had worked hard on his heart and he had the sohbat of his sheikh and his teacher. And he used to do dhikr of Allah. Not just like that, the heart is reformed. Why do we do dhikrullah? Remember this. Not for any other reason. Whoever makes this niyyah, that if you want to be wali Allah, you want to be a khalifa, you want to get ma'rifah, nearness to Allah, dreams, vision. No one reason. You have come to the majlis to make your heart tender and soft and pure. You gain both things, the company of the shaykh and dhikrullah. Very difficult, I use it, to get these two things. Very difficult. Sometimes there's sober, sometimes there's no zikr. Sometimes there's zikr, there's no sober. But achievement, miracle, that both things he gets, there's no greater ni'mah than both things at the same time, company and zikr. And this is for those who are grateful. This would for those people who are grateful. After every sobat, Allah, I'm grateful to you. Haq right is this, that you should pray 2 rakat nafal after every sobat, or not? That this is the action, the tariqah to create connection with Allah. When you go to sobat, then pray 2 nafal and come. This is my habit. I do wudu, pray 2 nafal, then I go to the company of my sheikh. Subhanallah. Then I go to the company of my sheikh. Wudu, 2 nafal, then company. Do maafi, Allah forgiveness, tawbah, 2 nafal, wudu, Allah, I'm going to the company of your sheikh, Allah, I might be disrespectful, I might dishonor him, Allah, I do istighfar, tawbah, Allah, give some sadqah, then go to the sheikh's company. So brothers, Allah Ta'ala, if you want to make a connection, the more you are grateful and travel on the path, and you are grateful for Allah's ni'mah, and what a great ni'mah this is. Some people don't even care, oh, as the subs come, oh, I don't need to go, come in the morning sometime, don't come in the evening, come and go. Oh, ki Allah, tika, how are you, fine, come and go, just meet that, that's all you're going to get then. After that, there you'll see nothing in thereafter. But those who have muhabbat and love, just like you are stuck and observant, then on the day of judgment, he also will be looking for you. He'll also be looking for you. Allah, I'll go into paradise. Where's that beloved colleague of mine? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there'll be ijazah of the, for the pious people to intercede also for those in need. And how will he do that? How will he go himself into paradise? Today, if you leave him, then he'll leave you tomorrow. No drama. No drama. Allah is khabir, basir, he looks everything. Those who are out on the path of Allah, then travel with ikhlas, sincerity. If you are fake, don't deceive, don't lie. For a moment, don't commit fraud, imagine at all to do fraud. Don't even think, the sahab, how will he know, I'll do this and that. Oh, okay, let's talk for a while. Oh, sahab's like this. Oh, he doesn't know what I'm saying. He's got this and that. He doesn't do this, negative and this. Oh, he told us masala of riba. I don't need about riba and interest. It's too hard. It's too hard. How much loss that person's earning? Tell me. So much adab, so much adab manners for the teacher. La yumnu hadakum hatta akunu ahabba ilayhi. Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, just like the Sahaba were defined, the Sahaba had that basis about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the condition, until today that same condition continues, that same adab. Why? Because that line goes back to Madinatul Manawwara, the chain, the sanad, your hand, back to the chain, through the chain to Abu Bakr Sadiq, and his hand is in whose hand? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You sit down for dhikr, the same verse will come from Medina, comes within a minute into your heart. It comes from that same chain. It comes from the same source. It will look for you, and it will come from each heart, through each heart, to that person in need. If you have no connection, yes, we don't even read the shajara. We don't even sit at home and read the shajara. The chain of our teachers and send the thawab to our mashayikh. For example, we pray two nafal and ask Allah to give the thawab to the sheikh. Upon your sheikh's name, give some sadaqah, wasila. Why? Because our yaqeen is weak. Our love is weak. Today, so many years have passed. Look at me. 70, 80 years. No moment passes. I don't even think until Hazrat Sahab's three or four lines. If I don't read, I don't go to sleep. Because I have connection with my teacher. Without his nasiha, how can I sleep? Allahu Akbar. Today I said, what is Hazrat Sahab saying today? Every moment a new color, a new effect, a new message takes place. Comes to me. We used to come, sit down in the majlis, we used to write the things down. Now you'll just leave, you'll forget before you even get home. The Hazrat, what did he say? What did he say? The question doesn't arise. That, subhanAllah, write it with a gold pen, gold ink, because all these words are diary, and one day the diary will end, the kitab will end. SubhanAllah, the final letter of Hazrat Sahab, and I sat there. I said, what is this fikrah? What are these words, the final moments, the final words after giving nasiha? Ajib, unique point, he said. He said that if life is there, then the meeting's there. I said, oh, that's it, end of story. And he was healthy, fine, totally healthy. I thought, oh, this is the final letter. After this, another letter won't come. He's given the goodbye to me, Hazrat Sahab. He just said two before that, he said that. That don't have greed of the world. Whatever you do, do it for the sake of Allah. That's it. He was final nasiha. The whole essence of tasawwuf in these words. The whoever brings dunya into his life, into the akhirah, then he has destroyed himself. That's it. The final statement, then he said, if life is remaining, then we will meet again, if there is life. Yes, and I get to that point. Maybe it takes me a year to get to that letter. 1 year, 2 years, with ease, I read through the letters. When I get to that letter, I start crying again. Just like my Hazrat has departed the world today. Great statement. Great statement. So this is the connection. Yes, no, he's a ghost, kutub, nothing. I said, he's my sheikh, my teacher, end of story. If he's a ghost, then subhanAllah, we are his murid, we say. If he's a kutub, we'll be his murid. He has to be a big sheikh, ul-hadith, knowledgeable, technical. That can a small person not be a wali Allah? We need ghost, kutub, technicalities. He is the ghost, kutub for me, who's shown me the path. And we say, who is your ghost? Who is your kutub? People ask. Tell me, who is your ghost and kutub? I said, my ghost is Ali Murtaza. My sheikh, he showed me the path, he took me the path, he made me recite the kalama, he took me all the points, and he took my hand and made me recite the kalama, didn't he? And made you recite the kalama? Who made you recite the kalama? Tell me. Yeah? Whoever made you recite the kalama in such a pure way that inshallah, that if you recite the kalama at the hand of the sheikh, then the hadith comes totally, that if you, subhanallah, when you leave this world, on your tongue should be the kalima, affirmation of faith. He taught you the kalima and he corrected your akhirah and protected your hereafter as well at the same time. What a great favor. And how will you break that connection? When hypocrisy comes into your life, when waswasa comes into your life, when you start backbiting and gossipmongering and speak wasteful talk, and you challenge the teacher and criticize, you have doubts in your heart and bad thoughts in your heart, negative thoughts, and you have no adab and bad thoughts. No, you need to increase the connection. Don't reduce it. Increase the love. When he made you recite the kalama, strengthen that connection and it will take you to the hereafter. Anyway, today's daras, I end it to now. Very beneficial discussion and message for us, that what do we need to work hard on? Raham, become people of mercy. We need to become people of mercy. That's what is the message of today. We should have adab, control your tongue, have mercy. If it's a child with you, your family folk, people outside, people about to hit you, don't believe, people who believe, or people who don't believe, a mu'min. Look at this. A mu'min, a believer, is his glory, his status. He should not be in a position that someone's in distress and he doesn't have a heart that melts. If you see somebody in distress, you should be shaking when you see the person. You should be upset. You should be concerned. Yes, I used to go out walking. So many pigeons became my friends. So many birds. Yes, that when I used to go, before 100 pigeons used to be around me. Before I get home, when I leave, they're welcoming the someone who's come out to whoop. How does that introduction made with those creatures? Tell me. Raham. Yeah, I give them something, I feed them, I give them some love, affection, I sit them. And just like when they flutter the wings, I didn't make them scared, I didn't grab them. They thought, this is somebody else. They speak, they understand, they know that who is a zalim, who is an oppressor, who is a merciful heart. Yes, so what? They say to each other, oh, that this man has been made due to the sohbat of Sheikh. He's got a warm heart. That he's not going to hit us. He's not going to pain us. He won't hit us. That's how he used to mess around me, sit here, go there, wander around me. They won't let me walk. Say subhanallah. So how does this come? Just examples I'm sharing with you. Different examples. Yes, live examples that happened with me. So all of this is due to the barakah of my sheikh. Ask any companion, how did barakah come in your life? They'll say, all the barakah in our lives was due to the Holy Prophet ﷺ. When we used to go into his sohbat, how would I become Abu Bakr? How would I become Uthman? How much rahmah would come into my heart? We were this before. We were wild. Imagine the sahaba. And there was murder, dispute, fighting, but then forgiveness came into their lives. Because that individual, that personality who took them to the heights was Rahmatul Lil Alameen. The mercy to the universe. He said, I'm Rahmatul Lil Alameen. Rahmat to the universe. The first thing that the Holy Prophet, that the first thing you learn from the company, the greatest glory and status was the Rahmah of the Prophet. What happened in Taif? That he had blood flowing from his body, injuries and cuts on his blessed slippers. The blood flowed and stuck to his slippers. Jibreel is coming, angels are coming, mountains coming. That shall we wipe these people away? Then what was the dua? Subhanallah, Allah, I am here. Allah, create a person from amongst them that who can teach them the deen. This was the dua of the Nabi. So many wounds and injuries and blood, but he made that dua. And then Hindustan today, where we are Sahih Muslims, where did the deen come from? Hazrat Muhammad bin Qasim came from Taif. He came to Hindustan, the Indian subcontinent. How many people became Muslims? The whole nation became Muslim. Muhammad bin Qasim, who spread the deen first? Where did he live? He lived from Taif, Middle East. He used to live in Taif. So this is what happens. Raham, first thing they cultivate when the Prophet ﷺ conquered Makkah. Who are those people? Tell me. What had they not done as oppression and opposition? Yes, the hukum comes. Order that he knew the houses of his enemies. He said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that whoever goes and takes refuge in the house of these people, they will be protected. The enemy's houses. Imagine. Imagine. He's hiding his face. He said, I know who you are. Why are you hiding your face from me? I know who you are. But I won't say nothing to you. Why did he, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, do this? Why did he explain this? For this reason, so that the ummah, he wanted to develop the ummah. Develop the ummah through these examples. We have forgotten these lessons and we run to other things. And we waste our time on other things. Adopt other paths. The real path to success and forgiveness, we've left there. So these are the paths that are explained in the gatherings of dhikr. These practices. This path is defined when the dhikr is done after these words, isn't it? Therefore we say, do this and this will happen. This do you do, you get Jannah, Jannatul Firdaus, and you'll go and do this. This happens in other discussions. Nothing at all. The real thing is what I'm telling you. The genuine article. This is the path. Adopt this path in the life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and give us the ability. Ameen. Recite the Rusul.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil alamin. Salatu wassalamu ala sayyidina. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد سواجيكم أنا بهديكم سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى محمد وعلى اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وسلوانا نزلنا وجدنا خاتمنا كل سليم اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمت وما أخرت وسلوانا ما أسلفت وما تعلمت اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكن من الخاسرين. يا مقلب بالقلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأغثنا على الإيمان وأشرنا يا رب العالمين. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم المستقيم شهداء وصالحين. اللهم نسلك صحة في إيماننا وإيماننا في حسن خلق نجاتنا اللهم رحمة منك وعافية ومغفرة يا حي يا قيوم اللهم نسلك هدى وتقى والبا والغنى اللهم ربنا اعطنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الجنة اللهم نسلك الفلاح في المفاد في الدين دنيا اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في أمور الكلية وجنة من خزية العذاب الآخرة اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وارض عنا وتقبل منا وادخلنا جنتك وادخلنا جنتك ونجاتنا من النار يا رحيم يا رحيم يا رحيم يا غفار يا ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين اللهم اشف مرضانا المسلمين وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.